Oh yeah, oh yeah. I love this song. Welcome back, everyone. Okay, we got to listen to just a little more. Come on. Hang on the mistletoe. I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim this, how much fun it's gonna be. Okay. I know I just stopped singing, but oh, I love that song. They're still singing, and just about everybody I know sing it. And I bet you're sitting in front of your desk right now, Jonathan, with the microphone off and singing along. Am I right?
I'm not singing, but I am grooving.
Michael Battle is joining us tonight. I was so wrong. Michael, I am so excited you're on tonight. I thought you told me you were off tonight.
No, that's after the new year.
After the new year. Well, I'm really happy to hear your voice. How are you, son?
Fantastic. And I was singing. I was grooving and singing.
You
That
were
is a
singing and grooving?
fantastic song.
See?
That's a great song. And I'm good, but I was going to say, I heard Jonathan reporting the weather, and tickets to LA aren't that expensive because those temperatures. Here's the thing: I'm about to be there, so I should prepare my brain for it because I'm about to be there for Christmas. But I thought it was cold here because it's gotten down to like the high 40s, mid 50s,
You
and
really
we're
shouldn't
all
tell us things like that. You shouldn't tell us you get to a low of 50. Don't do
We're
that.
in
You know,
coats,
people will like
hats.
hate you in this state.
I saw a man today at a restaurant in a full fur, a long down coat with a faux fur crest on the hood that stood up like 2 feet tall. I mean, people are wearing full winter outfits here because it's quote unquote cold. But after hearing that report, it's I feel fine. I'm fine. I'm fine out here.
Yeah, but climate change is real. It is so real. And so maybe people are preparing for what could come.
Wait. Two different statements. Climate change is real. Minnesota has always been cold. I mean, let's just those.
We've had some winters that weren't so cold.
True, but I don't want to link the coldest metropolitan city in the U.S. Being cold. It's like the sky is blue. Yes, climate change is real, but the sky is still blue.
By the way,
let's go to the meteorologist and ask him, Jonathan.
this is the technical meteorological terminology that I can provide, the expertise that I can provide to you this evening. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. There it is. It's
See
cold.
that, if anyone wants to know, that particular sound is it means that Michael was right. And I don't have a scream. You better not play mine. Don't play mine. I didn't ask for mine. You hear what I'm saying to you, Jonathan? I
For
didn't
the
ask for
record,
it.
That's
you
okay. You
did
weren't
have
right, so I'm
one.
not playing it.
There you go. What'd you say, Michael?
Yeah. All right, for the record, you did have your own noise when you were right. We had to discontinue the use of these noises for two reasons. One, they're a little annoying. And two, we played mine all the time. Just we played mine too much, because I was right so
Oh
often.
my
So
gosh,
we.
jeez.
Let's just get one thing clear.
I need a drink. I need to go get some tea with a lot of honey in it and just sit back and really try to get that out of my
Is that what we're
head.
calling bourbon now? Honey? Get some
Oh no, I don't
honey
do bourbon.
in the tea.
I can't handle
Honey
that sort of thing.
With
I'm not a
quotation
bourbon
marks.
person. See, that's you, Jonathan. Don't you drink bourbon?
No, I don't drink bourbon.
I
I
mean, but
drink a lot
wait,
of other liquors, but not bourbon.
with those temperatures, I would imagine bourbon and any other hot liquid is on the menu because it's intense. But I will say I am a bourbon person, and they have some great places in the Twin Cities that have a great selection that I'm hoping to visit when I go there.
Well, I have to admit, Michael, when it's, COVID season or you could easily get the flu or cold, I do keep a really, really small, cheap bottle of brandy. And if you put it on your tongue is going to scream and slap you while it licks your eyeballs out. But it is brandy. And I have noticed that a hot toddy actually works if you have the flu or if you have, it has worked for me many years ago. So I'm not a brandy drinker, but and I got the worst of it. So you can never, you won't find me drinking it.
I just want to go back because I'm still stuck on the visual of what you just described.
I agree. That was very graphic. It was extremely graphic,
Jonathan.
I was accosted by that visual, and you were still talking and saying things about Brandy, but I was just thinking, like, what does that look like? And then I was scarred. You know, I saw it, and that was it. I couldn't.
I don't even remember what I said there. Okay, I just threw it out my brain.
Let's not leave it where it was.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? If you wanna use a good bourbon or brandy for that purpose, I would say get something better that, you know, is not gonna, you know, ruin your body. Well, I mean, it's alcohol; it's gonna ruin your body, but something a bit better that you could also enjoy in eggnog or in a hot toddy, as opposed to something cheap. Because, as you know, I love really good high-end bourbons and whiskeys. I don't have many of them at home, but I have a few bottles, and, you know, once in a blue moon, I'll just take one out and try a little bit here, a bit there. But they're very, very strong. In fact, you got me a bottle of Booker's, two bottles of Booker's,
yes,
a couple of years ago. And that is an example of a bourbon that is extraordinarily strong. I think it's like 120 proof. I mean, it will definitely, like, I buzz my hair down because I'm losing my hair, but it will do it for me. It is incredibly, incredibly strong. And, you know, it's not something I can drink often. It definitely needs to have some ice in there to open up the flavors. But if you're looking to do the whole hot toddy, burn a cold out of your system, I would say go with Booker's because that'll do the trick. You might also, you know, grow an extra arm.
I'm never going to drink real brandy or bourbon. I'm never going to do it. Like I said, I bought the cheapest, and I mean the cheapest brandy, small bottle, in case I get something. And it's still sitting there. You know, I don't drink brandy. Now, so if it's a Brandy Alexander, right?
But wait.
Right.
But wait.
Well, you put like a teaspoon of brandy in it.
Mm-hmm. Point of clarification.
Mm-hmm.
The size of the bottle of brandy and the cost of the brandy does not make it any less brandy. It does
not.
No,
it matters. No, cheap. Look, E&J, enough said.
But it's still brandy. You can't say you don't drink brandy for drinking cheap brandy.
Okay, say that again.
The argument you're making is that you don't drink brandy because the brandy you drink comes in a small bottle and is cheap. But the size of the bottle and the cost of the brandy doesn't make it any less brandy.
Oh, no, it still burns, baby, burn. No, it still burns. Right. So that's why I don't drink it. That's why it's still in there. I'm saying to you, though, I have had some terrible colds in my life. And every time I went and bought a little thing of brandy, no matter how cheap it is, no matter how awful it is, it's just enough to put in some tea and really bring up all of that stuff in your chest. Works. I'm grateful I haven't had to do it for a while.
True. I mean, the last time I can think of where you had to do that was an emergency. I think you had a show you had to sing in. You were really, really sick. But the brandy you used was VSOP cognac that I brought back from Cognac, France. So for the record, Your Honor,
no,
I submit.
No, I'm sure that's not true. No, wait. Wait for it. Wait for it. I'm sure that's not the truth. You are the one that called me on your 21st birthday. Well, about a week before, 2 weeks before, and said, Mom, could you please send me the cognac from France? That's when you were there touring France. You were there, what, 2 weeks or 3 weeks living with a French family?
Right. I mean, it was two different trips, and one of the trips was about 2 weeks. But yes, while I was touring France for one of those trips, I went to
at 14 years old.
Factory.
Yep.
No, I wasn't 14.
I wasn't 14. It was seventh grade. You were 14.
The first trip, I was 13. Second trip, I was 15 or 16. Point is,
I don't remember a second trip.
I went back in high school. But the point is, the second time I went back, I went to the cognac factory and bought two bottles of cognac, which I've never had before in my life. It just seemed
like
a cool thing to
buy. Because you can drink cognac in France at the age of 14. I am telling
you,
your father and I were standing there waiting for you to get off the plane, right? And come through the, what do they call that, walk. And everybody else had, you know, all sorts of French things, you know, clothing or boots or toys or gifts for the family, and here you come with this box on your head, and it wasn't even wrapped. So everyone saw that you had a box of Cavassier, and your father and I just took a deep breath, like, no, really, we gasped. It was, you know, that sort of thing.
Wait,
no, seriously,
Your Honor,
we could not believe our son came home at the age of 14 with cognac that you purchased because it's legal there.
I also had very fragile prayer candles from a holy site where the Virgin Mary appeared in front of water that was blessed. I had those, so don't those things balance out?
Jesus gonna get you.
If I had a holy candle,
keep one eye, keep one eye open tonight. One eye, keep one eye open tonight. I'm just saying. Jonathan will probably give you that same advice. He has to keep one eye open all the time.
I have to keep one eye open, but for other reasons. And by the way, we need to take a break. I'm gonna try to save Michael from himself right now and take a break.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to come back with Michael in a few minutes to talk about the movie he saw. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour, which is the final hour on Sunday nights. It's been a pleasure being with you, even though we didn't get online until 9 o'clock in order to do Center Stage. It has been well worth it to be with you any of the time that we have. Michael Battle, it's so great to have you this evening. And you had a chance to see a movie, Avatar: The Way of Water. You want to talk about it?
Yes, Avatar, the long, long, long awaited sequel to the original Avatar that came out 13 years ago. No introduction needed. We all know what Avatar is. It's the big, highest grossing film ever. James Cameron directed and produced. Of course, James Cameron's done a whole slew of huge films. Of course, Titanic, and a lot of really big blockbuster films that are very fun and emotional. So, I mean, this is a person who knows how to make a hit movie. You and I think we talked about Avatar, back when it first came out, and, you know, I've had a few conversations about it. I was not a fan of that movie. But that kind of doesn't matter because, again, highest grossing film of all time, huge success.
Right.
So this film, I knew I was coming in wanting to hate it, because I don't like Avatar. And, I said, you know what? It's been 13 years. Disney has purchased Fox, who released the first one. So there's some executives over this film who maybe had some influence in its creation. Let me go see it opening weekend in 3D on a big screen and experience this like the rest of the fans, even though I didn't actually want to contribute to its opening weekend numbers. Okay, to the point. The good stuff first before I get to the bad stuff. The good stuff. This film is beautiful. It is such an incredible achievement of filmmaking just in terms of how it looks. It's in high frame rate, HFR, as we call it, which is the same technology that was used on The Hobbit, the Peter Jackson prequel that came out in theaters quite some time ago. And if fans recall seeing The Hobbit in HFR, all the humans looked weird because of the additional frames, but
yeah,
Gollum on screen, Gollum looked incredible. Gollum looked realer than he ever looked before because the CGI in HFR looks real. And the same is here, except that all of Avatar is CGI. So the few times you see human faces, they look a little weird. But otherwise, the film, it makes the Avatars themselves, the world, look so much more crisp and big. And it feels like an extended cutscene of a video game. 3 hour long cutscene. It's a very, very long movie, but that's the feel of it. But it is immersive. It is very, very pretty. And it has a couple cool sequences and a couple moments of emotion, where I almost teared up, and a couple moments where I went, ooh, ah, that's cool. Okay. All that said, it is still a hugely insulting white savior film. White savior film, which is in the film industry we call white savior films, films where a white protagonist goes into usually a black world, but it could be any other race, and is the savior of the entire race just because. And that was the same core issue with the first film, where it was a white male, straight white man, in this case, not even the best of them, who comes into Pandora, which is black people, and saves the people and falls in love with the black woman. And in this film, it's his story, of course. That's to be expected. And I kind of wrestled with this in my head because it's his kids who are really the lead of this film. And if I, stick to my theory about this, then I'm actually watching a film about interracial children, right? And if we play that forward, I'm watching a film about interracial kids who are experiencing colorism and who are trying to see where they fit in because they aren't blue enough for one race of Na'vi, and they aren't green enough for the other race of Na'vi, so they aren't black enough or white enough. That actually is a really interesting storyline. And I kind of wish that was what they leaned into and said, okay, we have matured from the old film 13 years ago. We matured into this time period, 2022, and we're going to explore deeper themes and give you a bit more. But no, in the end, even with that new interracial colorism theme that would have been great to explore, at the end of the day, it is still about how their whiteness can save them. And there's even the one of the kids who isn't even mixed race with the actual Na'vi, is just a white person, cloned pretty much, ends up being mystical in ways with the black deity that the black people are not. And without any spoilers, there's one scene in particular that I found so infuriating, where you have the white protagonist saying to his black wife, I need you to be strong right now, because she's being, you know, too emotional. I need you to be strong for me. And I thought, after 2020, after all the election cycles we have seen, the last thing America needs to hear is a white man telling a black woman to be strong. That is not the narrative that we have seen play out in these past few years. So this film is going to be huge. It's going to make enormous amounts of money. It hasn't made as much this weekend as they expected, but again, it's still a big opening. It's going to make over $1 billion. It's going to be a worldwide massive hit. Frankly, it already is. So money is not really part of the conversation here. We know what's going to happen here. I just hope that if they make a third one, they do it differently. They see that we're in a society that deserves better. They understand that Americans, we didn't ask for this movie. We don't want this. And that they see that this is particularly insulting to watch just a month after Black Panther came out. So that's my review. I'm sure some people can be mad, but I feel very strongly about this franchise.
Well, some people are just going to be upset anyway. That's the truth. Okay, so I want to say right now that this conversation on race is brought to you by YMCA of the North. YMCA is committed to discussions on racial equity and inclusion and being a leader in social responsibility. And, of course, Michael Battle is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. I do want to mention, Michael, that the very first Avatar I thought was ridiculous. And there was a white person, a white man, who was leading them astray, wanted to take over. There's no doubt about that. Then the second movie that you just described, it sounds like both sides came together, the white and the black came together. What are you expecting for the third?
But the white and the black didn't come together. The white people turned into black people. They're literally the same person in a Na'vi body with black dreadlocks and black afros with Boston accents. Yes. Like it is literally white people in black bodies leading black people to their own savior. And so it's just, I was really hoping 13 years later, with Disney now owning this, even though this movie has long been written and planned, I was hoping that they would just have done a little better, but no, there you have all these white actors and actresses, voices and CGI with black dreadlocks and afros swimming in water, saving the day.
It was Jar Jar Binks all over again. Hey, Michael, we got to take a break. We have to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. It is now 10:39 as I try to get myself together after that weather forecast. Jonathan, you should have jumped in, dude. My microphone wasn't on and I was just a-talking. Good Lord.
That's okay, because I didn't want to hear the weather forecast either. I just didn't want to hear it. I know exactly what's coming. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, right? I know, Michael, you sitting there thinking about it going, am I coming to Minnesota?
I mean, the ticket is booked, but I'm like Jonathan said earlier, you know, the weather report is what I said. It's cold. It's cold. We all know that it's cold.
Yeah, but you're from, born and raised in Minnesota.
Enough I mean, said. My thinned L.A. blood that I'm born there, you know. But you know what? I have actually...
You have shiny shoes. Just point it towards the sun.
Perfect. I will do that. I will refract the heat into my core, and I shall be warm.
So he's going to be like, he's going to be standing outside like they sit outside at the pool and have that little shade that they have under their necks at the pool. That's how he's going to look with his shoes.
No. Michael would never do that. You know, never think that Michael's going to put like a small umbrella over his head just to be able to sit outside and drink wine. That's not going to happen. Okay?
I'm still visual. Earlier we had Brandy, you know, doing things.
Cheap Brandy. Make sure you say cheap Brandy.
By the way.
For medicinal purposes.
By the way, the reason that I played Girl on Fire a little bit earlier was because I was just imagining the ladies like yourself taking some Brandy and just guzzling it down. You're going to be on fire at that point, especially if it's cheap.
Exactly.
I have so much to say that I can't say on the radio. Oh, my God.
That's why I say this here, because of FCC rules. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, I'm sending you a box. It'll be shaking. Michael, tell him all about the box.
Oh, he knows. That's why he sleeps with one eye open.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, you guys are terrible. Okay, so, Michael, you were talking about this ridiculous movie. I have never liked Avatar, and I'm sure I won't like any more of them. However, people really do love them, obviously. They've already made back their money plus some. What is it, $485 million they've already?
No, they haven't. So that's the trick with this one. Again, I don't want to dive too much into the numbers because, as I mentioned earlier, ultimately – this film is going to make so much money. It might not be profitable, but it's going to be big enough that they're going to make the 3, 4, and 5 that are likely going to come up in the franchise. But they spent between $350 and $400 million on just the production budget. They probably spent another $200 plus million advertising the movie. And so given that the theaters take half and sometimes more of box office receipts, this film would have to make about $2 billion to actually turn a profit for Disney. But that's not the point here. They're building a franchise. You know, if it makes $1.5 billion, it's still one of the top grossing films of all time, you know? So it's a huge opening this weekend. Here in the U.S., the opening wasn't as high as Black Panther, but internationally it made more in its opening weekend than Black Panther has internationally so far. So domestically, Black Panther has was stronger and is currently stronger. And I reference these two because Black Panther is black people pairing up with blue people in the sea to defeat a common enemy. Well, that's the pitch of the trailer. What actually happens is a bit different in the movie, but no spoilers for those who haven't seen it. And the pitch of this trailer is fake black people who are blue with other real black people teaming up with blue people in the sea to defeat a common enemy. So that's why I keep comparing the two, because it's two films. One originated from a rival studio, Fox, who is now part of the same studio with a marketing campaign that looks very much alike, but one just being contrived, albeit internationally bigger, you know, with more eyeballs on it. So it's going to make a bunch of money. People are going to love it. The 3D is incredible. It's the best 3D I've ever seen in my life. For me, the best 3D was How to Train Your Dragon, the original film in 3D. Number two with the original Avatar, which people get mad at me for saying that, but I held to it until I saw this one in 3D, HFR, high frame, right? The best 3D I've ever seen. So the spectacle alone, I think, will have fans ignoring the very weak storyline, the troubling, complicated racial implications of said storyline, and that it's kind of boring. They'll get past all of that and just take their family to go see this thing, or you're in an underwater alien world. It's incredible to watch on screen. But the money to me isn't that exciting because we know it's headed and it's going to make a lot of money, and they're going to make more and more of these films.
Okay, so I just want to ask you a question about Hallmark. You and I didn't live that far from Hallmark headquarters when we lived in L.A., right? Mm-hmm. When I was living there with you. And we kind of made all kind of jokes, you know, because it was just ridiculous to us, right? And now it has changed completely. I mean, so many channels have 25 days of Christmas and so much more, including BET and other ones, Lifetime, you name it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious to know what you think about this whole thing of, you know, doing Christmas shows for, you know, more than a month. And some of them are Hallmark and some of them are on all of these, you know, people of color stations. And even Hallmark has put out some with African-Americans and indigenous people in it. So that's shocking. And I'm just curious to know what you think about that. Do you think that they're being fake, or do you say, thank goodness you guys are moving up and forward?
I say thank goodness. If it is contrived and they're doing it for money, well, it is an entertainment business. So I can't get mad for getting what I want if they're doing it for money, because that's how we got most of the progress in this industry. And to your point, yes, they have Hallmark films for Christmas with diversity now, LGBTQIA leads now, which is really wonderful. And yes, I used to make fun of Hallmark movies and all the other Christmas fare that comes on this time of year. But now, I don't know how I got sappier as I got older, because now I love them. I have been in search of sappy, joyful Christmas movies. I think I've watched 3 or 4 already. Netflix, Prime Video. I'm reading articles to find the newest sap I can enjoy. Joey, of course, is just like, do we have to? I'm like, yes, it's Christmas time. Eggnog and gingerbread cookies and sappy movies. He's like, what happened to you? I'm like, I don't know. So I'm here for it now. I don't have cable like many of my age. I have unplugged. I don't have that the Hallmark channel on my internet channel on my TV. So I haven't seen those movies, but if it's streaming Prime Video, Netflix, Disney Plus, and it's sappy and Christmas and has some diversity, I'm going to watch it.
Okay, then. Well, here's the final thought, because we're running out of time, of course, Michael. But the bottom line for me is that Christmas is really special. I had a chance just Saturday. Oh, my goodness. Today is Sunday. It's amazing. Saturday morning, yesterday, I was able to go to the Children's Minnesota Hospital right off of Chicago Avenue. And I am telling you, I was there with 4 other women. So it was 5 of us that decided to go Christmas caroling throughout the hospital where the children were, specifically those that are having a very difficult time. And the staff would come out and just listen and applaud. And it was really special. This was something Jane Henderson started years ago, and there used to be throngs of us. I mean, it used to be 15, 17, 20 of us going through those hallowed halls singing for the children. And this time it was only the 5 of us, but we really had a great time. My question, though, is whether or not it is the right thing to do to sing Christian holiday songs to children, and we don't know what their faith is. We don't know where their parents stand with that. We didn't ask any questions. We just sang the ones we knew and loved. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's something to be conscious of. You know, there's such a treasure trove of secular Christmas music. I feel like you can still go bring that merriment and joy and the same spirit of your faith to people without, you know, singing words that are maybe not of their faith, but their family's faith, if their families are there. So definitely something to consider for next year. But I imagine you didn't receive complaints and people loved it when you were there this time yesterday.
Yeah, we didn't have much time to do that. But I have to tell you, we sung songs like Silent Night, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which I think is, you know, average. And of course, Hanukkah is a big part of this time of this season of celebrating. And so I was just
starts
really
tomorrow.
Curious. Yeah, exactly. So I was really, really concerned about this. So I'm going to really start looking for articles about that and whether there are people out there that feel like, no, you should not sing those songs around a different faith. Right. So I'll do my research on that. But we had a good time and had a chance to just stand there and sing to the children. And one child came out a little bit with her mom, and she said, I'd like a Christmas song. And we said, you like one? She goes, yes. And we said, which one would you like? And she said, Jingle Bells. And, oh, she just lit up. It was so beautiful. So I had a great time yesterday with those women. And thank you so much to Melissa and Jane and me and Peg or Deb. I can't think of her first name. But we had a great time. Oh, and oh my God, I can't think of her last name. Oh my gosh. Anyway,
wait a
I'll
minute.
Have to tell it next week.
This
yes.
sounds like the beginning of a Hallmark movie. I mean, this is perfect. This could be the opening scene, five women in a hospital singing songs. There was a concern. The little girl comes out and asks for a Christmas song. It's Jingle Bells. And then we pan over the city, which, of course, is shot in Canada somewhere because they shoot all these movies there in the summertime with fake snow. But we're going to ignore that. We're going to say it's real snow and that it's Minnesota. And then we go into our protagonists and the plot begins.
I think you need a therapist about that. We're going to take a break. Are we taking a break, Jonathan? I think.
I'll look up therapist numbers while.
It is now 10:39 as I try to get myself together after that weather forecast. Jonathan, you should have jumped in, dude. If my microphone wasn't on and I was just a-talking. Good Lord.
That's okay, because I didn't want to hear the weather forecast either. I just didn't want to hear it. I know exactly what's coming. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, right? I know, Michael, you're sitting there thinking about it going, am I coming to Minnesota?
I mean, the ticket is booked, but I'm like Jonathan said earlier, you know, the weather report is what I said. It's cold. It's cold. We all know that it's cold.
Yeah, but you're from, born and raised in Minnesota. Enough
I mean,
said.
My thinned L.A. blood, that I'm born there, you know. But you know what? I have actually...
You have shiny shoes. Just point it towards the sun.
Perfect. I will do that. I will refract the heat into my core, and I shall be warm.
So he's going to be like, he's going to be standing outside like they sit outside at the pool and have that little shade that they have under their necks at the pool. That's how he's going to look with his shoes.
No. Michael would never do that. You know, never think that Michael's going to put like a small umbrella over his head just to be able to sit outside and drink wine. That's not going to happen. Okay?
I'm still visual. Earlier we had Brandy, you know, doing things.
Cheap Brandy. Make sure you say cheap Brandy.
By the way.
For medicinal purposes.
By the way, the reason that I played Girl on Fire a little bit earlier was because I was just imagining the ladies like yourself taking some Brandy and just guzzling it down. You're going to be on fire at that point, especially if it's cheap.
Exactly.
I have so much to say that I can't say on the radio. Oh, my God.
That's why I say this here, because of FCC rules. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, I'm sending you a box. It'll be shaking. Michael, tell them all about the box.
Oh, he knows. That's why he sleeps with one eye open.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, you guys are terrible. Okay, so, Michael, you were talking about this ridiculous movie. I have never liked Avatar, and I'm sure I won't like any more of them. However, people really do love them, obviously. They've already made back their money plus some. What is it, $485 million they've already?
No, they haven't. So that's the trick with this one. Again, I don't want to dive too much into the numbers because, as I mentioned earlier, ultimately – this film is going to make so much money. It might not be profitable, but it's going to be big enough that they're going to make the 3, 4, and 5 that are likely going to come up in the franchise. But they spent between $350 and $400 million on just the production budget. They probably spent another $200 plus million advertising the movie. And so given that the theaters take half and sometimes more of box office receipts, this film would have to make about $2 billion to actually turn a profit for Disney. But that's not the point here. They're building a franchise. You know, if it makes $1.5 billion, it's still one of the top grossing films of all time, you know? So it's a huge opening this weekend. Here in the U.S., the opening wasn't as high as Black Panther, but internationally it made more in its opening weekend than Black Panther has internationally so far. So domestically... Black Panther has was stronger and is currently stronger. And I reference these two because Black Panther is black people pairing up with blue people in the sea to defeat a common enemy. Well, that's the pitch of the trailer. What actually happens is a bit different in the movie, but no spoilers for those who haven't seen it. And the pitch of this trailer is fake black people who are blue with other real black people teaming up with blue people in the sea to defeat a common enemy. So that's why I keep comparing the two, because it's two films. One originated from a rival studio, Fox, who is now part of the same studio, with a marketing campaign that looks very much alike, but one just being contrived, albeit internationally bigger, you know, with more eyeballs on it. So it's going to make a bunch of money. People are going to love it. The 3D is incredible. It's the best 3D I've ever seen in my life. For me, the best 3D was How to Train Your Dragon, the original film in 3D. Number two with the original Avatar, which people get mad at me for saying that, but I held to it until I saw this one in 3D, HFR, high frame, right? The best 3D I've ever seen. So the spectacle alone, I think, will have fans ignoring the very weak storyline, the troubling, complicated racial implications of said storyline, and that it's kind of boring. They'll get past all of that and just take their family to go see this thing, or you're in an underwater alien world. It's incredible to watch on screen. So but the money to me isn't as exciting, because we know it's headed and it's going to make a lot of money, and they're going to make more and more of these films.
Okay, so I just want to ask you a question about Hallmark. You and I didn't live that far from Hallmark headquarters when we lived in L.A., right? Mm-hmm. When I was living there with you. And we kind of made all kind of jokes, you know, because it was just ridiculous to us, right? And now it has changed completely. I mean, so many channels have 25 days of Christmas and so much more, including BET and other ones, Lifetime, you name it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious to know what you think about this whole thing of, you know, doing Christmas shows for, you know, more than a month. And some of them are Hallmark and some of them are on all of these, you know, people of color stations. And even Hallmark has put out some with African-Americans and indigenous people in it. So that's shocking. And I'm just curious to know what you think about that. Do you think that they're being fake, or do you say, thank goodness you guys are moving up and forward?
I say thank goodness. If it is contrived and they're doing it for money, well, it is an entertainment business. So I can't get mad for getting what I want if they're doing it for money, because that's how we got most of the progress in this industry. And to your point, yes, they have Hallmark films for Christmas with diversity now, LGBTQIA leads now, which is really wonderful. And yes, I used to make fun of Hallmark movies and all the other Christmas fare that comes on this time of year. But now, I don't know how I got sappier as I got older, because now I love them. I have been in search of sappy, joyful Christmas movies. I think I've watched three or four already. Netflix, Prime Video. I'm reading articles to find the newest sap I can enjoy. Joey, of course, is just like, do we have to? I'm like, yes, it's Christmas time. Eggnog and gingerbread cookies and sappy movies. He's like, what happened to you? I'm like, I don't know. So I'm here for it now. I don't have cable like many of my age. I have unplugged. I don't have that the Hallmark channel on my internet channel on my TV. So I haven't seen those movies, but if it's streaming Prime Video, Netflix, Disney Plus, and it's sappy and Christmas and has some diversity, I'm going to watch it.
Okay, then. Well, here's the final thought, because we're running out of time, of course, Michael. But the bottom line for me is that Christmas is really special. I had a chance just Saturday. Oh, my goodness. Today is Sunday. It's amazing. Saturday morning, yesterday, I was able to go to the Children's Minnesota Hospital right off of Chicago Avenue. And I am telling you, I was there with four other women. So it was five of us that decided to go Christmas caroling throughout the hospital where the children were, specifically those that are having a very difficult time. And the staff would come out and just listen and applaud. And it was really special. This was something Jane Henderson started years ago, and there used to be throngs of us. I mean, it used to be 15, 17, 20 of us going through those hallowed halls singing for the children. And this time it was only the five of us, but we really had a great time. My question, though, is whether or not it is the right thing to do to sing Christian holiday songs to children, and we don't know what their faith is. We don't know where their parents stand with that. We didn't ask any questions. We just sang the ones we knew and loved. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's something to be conscious of. You know, there's such a treasure trove of secular Christmas music. I feel like you can still go bring that merriment and joy in the same spirit of your faith to people without, you know, singing words that are maybe not of their faith, of their family's faith, if their families are there. So definitely something to consider for next year. But I imagine you didn't receive complaints and people loved it when you were there this time yesterday.
Yeah, we didn't have much time to do that, but I have to tell you, we sung songs like Silent Night, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which I think is, you know, average. And of course, Hanukkah is a big part of this time of this season of celebrating. And so I was just curious. Yeah, exactly. So I was really, really concerned about this. So I'm going to really start looking for articles about that and whether there are people out there that feel like, no, you should not sing those songs around a different faith, right? So I'll do my research on that. But we had a good time and had a chance to just stand there and sing to the children. And one child came out a little bit with her mom, and she said, I'd like a Christmas song. And we said, you like one? She goes, yes. And we said, which one would you like? And she said, Jingle Bells. And, oh, she just lit up. It was so beautiful. So I had a great time yesterday with those women. And thank you so much to Melissa and Jane and me and Peg or Deb. I can't think of her first name, but we had a great time. Oh, and oh my God, I can't think of her last name. Oh my gosh. Anyway,
wait a
I'll
minute.
Have to tell it next week.
This sounds like the beginning of a Hallmark movie. I mean, this is perfect. This could be the opening scene, five women in a hospital singing songs. There was a concern. The little girl comes out and asks for a Christmas song. It's Jingle Bells. And then we pan over the city, which, of course, is shot in Canada somewhere because they shoot all these movies there in the summertime with fake snow. But we're going to ignore that. We're going to say it's real snow and that it's Minnesota. And then we go into our protagonists and the plot begins.
I think you need a therapist about that. We're going to take a break. Are we taking a break, Jonathan? I think.
I'll look up therapist numbers while we're in the break.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. It's 10:55 here at WCCO as we wrap up this hour. I must say it has been an absolute joy to have my son join us tonight. It was a surprise for me because I had the date wrong. I thought it was tonight that he needed to take off, and here he is, and just lit my whole spirit up, and I really appreciate that. Jonathan, you know, I so, so enjoy working with you. I can't say for all the years, but just kidding, Jonathan.
No, you're right, because there was a good stretch that did not work Sunday night, so that was accurate. I'll allow it.
Did he say he will allow it?
He did. Okay. I have something really important I want to share, though.
Okay.
Geraldine's jingle coming this Christmas on Hallmark.
You know why I played that song, Michael?
Why?
I played that was You Need to Calm Down by Taylor Swift, because you need to calm down on this love of Hallmark movies and sap. You need to calm down.
It could be we could produce it this year. We'll film it this summer. It could be playing this
time. Did you say the Geraldine jingle, though, for real?
No, Geraldine's jingle. That's the name of the movie.
Geraldine's jingle. I want you to say that to yourself 20 times before you go to sleep, and I promise in the morning you'll throw that mess out. You'll be trying to figure out, where did that come from? Why did I keep thinking that all night?
Maybe it was the branding. I don't know.
Hey, by the way, your auntie, Javita, did this concert at her church tonight. It was wonderful, Michael. It was wonderful. I sang a song. JD sang a song. And some other guests like Julius Collins. It was just smoking. It was the choir. The choir was, they were amazing. I cannot tell you how great it was. I wish you could have been here early enough to see that concert tonight and to see the smiles and the joy and the love on that stage. It was just perfect. It was at Park Avenue United Methodist Church. And your Auntie Javita, I think she turned them into Baptists or something, because it was a whole nother thing. So I just want to say, Jonathan, thank you so much for being patient tonight. And Michael, you know I love you so much. Thanks for joining me tonight. And thank you to all of you who listen and talk about us and share with us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Good night, everyone. It's 10:55 here at WCCO as we wrap up this hour. I must say it has been an absolute joy to have my son join us tonight. It was a surprise for me because I had the date wrong. I thought it was tonight that he needed to take off, and here he is, and just lit my whole spirit up, and I really appreciate that. Jonathan, you know, I so, so enjoy working with you. I can't say for all the years, but just kidding, Jonathan.
No, you're right, because there was a good stretch that did not work work Sunday night, so that was accurate. I'll allow it.
Did he say he will allow it?
He did. Okay. I have something really important I want to share, though.
Okay.
Geraldine's jingle coming this Christmas on Hallmark.
You know why I played that song, Michael?
Why?
That was You Need to Calm Down by Taylor Swift, because you need to calm down on this love of Hallmark movies and sap. You need to calm down.
It could be we could produce it this year. We'll film it this summer. It could be playing this time.
Did you say the
year.
Geraldine jingle, though, for real?
No, Geraldine's jingle. That's the name of the movie.
Geraldine's jingle. I want you to say that to yourself 20 times before you go to sleep, and I promise in the morning you'll throw that mess out. You'll be trying to figure out, where did that come from? Why did I keep thinking that all night?
Maybe it was the branding. I don't know.
Hey, by the way, your auntie Javita did this concert at her church tonight. It was wonderful, Michael. It was wonderful. I sang a song, JD sang a song, and some other guests like Julius Collins. It was just smoking. It was the choir was, oh, they were amazing. I cannot tell you how great it was. I wish you could have been here early enough to see that concert tonight and to see the smiles and the joy and the love on that stage. It was just perfect. It was at Park Avenue United Methodist Church. And your Auntie Javita, I think she turned them into Baptists or something, because it was a whole nother thing. So I just want to say, Jonathan, thank you so much for being patient tonight. And Michael, you know I love you so much. Thanks for joining me tonight. And thank you to all of you who listen and talk about us and share with us. So thank you. Good night, everyone.